Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with Todd.
You say funny things.
We're going to be talking about parenting today on the Sofa King podcast, and I got some awesome visuals of how to be a safe parent and not be a safe parent. And apparently, when you're introducing your baby to pets, the safe way is to hold them while you're introducing them to a dog. But when you're showing them your fish, don't actually put them in the fish tank with the fish. I mean, would you guys agree?
That's a public safety pamphlet or what?
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty funny, though.
I like those safety things, like the hair dryer. So,
and don't
no
put
shower.
Your finger in their butt to check if the diaper's dirty. Just open the diaper a little bit.
Man,
lifting the baby. Don't palm the baby by the top of the head like a basketball.
See, this is
you
why I'm not
pick them
a
up
parent,
with two hands
because I don't
and
know
support
any of
their
these
neck.
Things.
So you would just palm the baby's
yeah,
head, like
just grab it wherever the nearest part.
You know what's sad?
Just grab
give me a shoulder.
The nearest part. That's what you
people
get a grip on.
Probably do that, or that wouldn't exist.
Oh, I'm sure people do.
Oh, okay. And if you're a man, apparently you can't breastfeed.
All right,
baby.
Now it's a joke. It's kidding now.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't know, because this is legit.
There might be someone that's
so our topic today is parenting, and we've wanted to talk about it for a little while, the ideas of what you should or shouldn't do as a parent, how parenting has changed. I mean, I'm sure since we're all in our adult era, we can throw in the, you know, back in my day, and we can get into a whole lot of that stuff. So a discussion of parents in general. I'm the only one in the room who is not a parent. I have dogs, so my idea of parenting is take them out for a walk a couple times a week, make sure there's water in a bowl, and then you can leave them all day.
Oh, it's so pretty, it's pretty much the same. You got
same
it.
It's pretty much
they
the
shit
same.
On the floor, clean it up.
Yep. Leave a couple toys out. Take off all
leave
day.
Leave them a bone.
They'll be fine. Yeah. Just leave them in the backyard with a hose running.
Yeah.
You know,
and open can of beans because they can't use a can opener.
Right. Yep. Right.
So, until they get a little older.
Once they get old enough, then it's a can of beans and a can opener, and then you're good.
Yes. Yeah.
Moving on.
Yep.
So we're done. Let's wrap it up.
That's it.
We never have anything to talk about.
Here, Brad, how many kids do you have and how old are they?
Two and one on the way. I have a six-year-old and a 9-year-old.
Both girls.
Both girls. And I have a boy on the way.
Oh, I didn't know it was a boy on the way. That probably came up in discussion. I know. Hey, I don't remember dinner yesterday.
That's how,
that
you
well.
Know, it's funny. It's funny how, if we were women, we would know everything about, I mean,
everything,
everything about each other. Like,
everything.
And guys don't even know what if their if their friends have boys or girls. Like, they don't know who their wife is.
Hey, congrats, bro. I didn't know you're having a son, man.
No,
good job.
Oh, they're pregnant? Oh, you're going to have a baby? When? I didn't even know that.
Right.
Like, I told you like 3 months ago. Oh, yeah, I got things going on, you know. and I'm not even mad about it. Like, you don't know?
No. Yeah, that's fine.
I guess you'll see him when he's out. I
right.
Mean, oh, it's a boy. Yeah.
At some point, you'll realize my child is a boy.
Guys are like that, you know.
It doesn't matter. Brad shoots them all like boys. Anyway, he trains them in jiu-jitsu and makes them play baseball.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Is that same plan?
I don't like sports all that much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not into sports. Like, I see like little kids in their like football uniforms, you know, they just got done at a game. And I'm like, I just want to punch that kid. Like, for whatever reason, I don't like
3 minutes
kids.
And 50 seconds. Brad said, punch a kid.
Well, I'm going to say,
we had a bet going.
I have like a special soccer kick that I got for kids. Like, it's kind of a roundhouse, but I want to get them up in the air.
Right.
But I need the pain, you know, to still kick in at a certain point.
Right.
So it's kind of a sweeping action kick, but it's a.
We do timeout.
Timeout?
Yeah. Well, break down your children and ages.
Yeah, I have an 11-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old little boy. None on the way. But so how much time? You got like 3 weeks left though, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So we're going to, and the podcast will be over.
Yeah.
So
podcast is done.
Yep.
Actually, I don't care about my
kids.
You
better teach us how to do some
learn that from my
stuff.
Parents.
Yeah.
So there's one of the things I always look at is how different people raise kids now versus how people raised kids back in the day. Like in my, you know, like I already said a minute ago, like it turns into a back in my day kind of a thing.
Right.
And I mean, I know, granted, the world is radically different. Technology is radically different. Yeah. Things that children can do is radically different. I mean, there have been massive changes. I'm not ignoring those changes, but there's some fundamental stuff. And I think the first thing when I started to look into it, the first thing I wanted to find out was, you know, because I always just think, you know, parents don't let kids go outside and play because they're afraid of what's going to happen to them. Parents are very worried about their children. Yeah. And it's like, I just remember when I was a kid, my mom would, like, we lived on a lake that was a mile across. And she, we would just swim across the lake.
That's insane.
Like, and we would, we would just be home by dinner. Like whether we walked all the way back on a road or whether we swam back, which was really dangerous in the first place, but everybody did it and it was all good. Yeah. I just, you know, it was just a different mindset.
Yeah. I was so free like that, that one time did I finally get in trouble? Cause I just didn't think anything of it. Cause we just wander the neighborhood or ride your bike as far as you want.
Right.
But as a kid, I wasn't thinking about it. And I went to my friends, like, want to come to my house and play Hot Wheels? It was like the second grade. And I was like, sweet. Yeah. And so I went to his house after school. Cause we walked home together every day.
Right.
But this day he was like, you want to come to my house? And I was like, why don't we do that? That's cool. You have Hot Wheels. Why wouldn't I? We walked past your house. Like, why do we not do that? And it just didn't occur to me. So I did that. And then I played till, I don't know, 5 or 6. And then my mom finally like found me, you know, like
when I
there's
think
no
about
cell
it.
Phone,
right.
The school's
right.
Like, I don't know. He left the school. They, back then they didn't even like sign out. Like, I guess he was present today, you know, and I went to like little Jimmy Mahoney's house or whatever his kid's name was.
Yeah. If you have permission to walk home, like that's, you know, like you're walking home.
Right. I made the choice to stop along the way that day. I never did that again. Yeah. So I did.
See, and I
trouble.
Think that's the key. Like, you did something, you took a risk, you made a decision as a child, you turned out perfectly fine, and you learned a valuable life lesson that sticks with you to this day.
Right.
Well, and it's like, when kids don't get that opportunity in the first place, they're not going to have a chance to learn and grow and develop the right way.
I think, I mean, a lot of people see me as like, if you look at me or talk to me, like, you hear me on the podcast, you know, I'm Mexican gangster tattooed up. I'm scary. You know, like I've had people comment like, oh, I would go to pick up my daughters at school. Like, oh man, I hate to see, you know, I hate for their boyfriends when they get older, you know, like, I'm like, why? And they're like, you're scary. And I'm like, just a guy, you know, like,
right.
Like, but yeah, I am
you're
scary.
Just a dude
I'll snap
trying
your
to
neck.
Be a dude,
like,
you know,
I'm just like a dude trying to play a dude, trying to be the dude that I need to be the dude about. You know,
one of my friends and our fans, recognized you in public, but didn't say anything to you. I was like, oh, you should have said something.
Yeah,
like he heard your voice. You were ordering or something somewhere. And he looked over and you had Brad on your name tag. Then he was like, oh, he's got the solid tattoo. Like, so he was like, that's him for sure. It's Brad. He sees the tattoo.
He just hits me in the back of the
he's
head.
He's never seen you though. Like he just found you based off your voice and that tattoo. And then confirmed it with your name tag on your shirt.
That is
all
funny.
Evidence that I'm me. Yep. So,
but to clarify, the story made it sound as if Brad works at the restaurant your friend was eating.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Name tag. That's
right. Second job. He's got another kid.
I work at Olive Garden.
That's right.
I serve breadsticks with special sauce.
I'm the breadstick boy.
Yeah. So I think I've actually had a lot of experience with kids in my life. I worked at a school district for a few years, 4 years, 4 or 5 years almost. And I actually grew up super rough. Like I grew up in bad neighborhoods, you know, white kid in black Mexican neighborhoods, not good, you know. And parents, I could run around all day, all night. Like I could get home third grade, I'd get home at midnight. And no questions asked. And get up in the morning and hope there's milk for cereal that's not bad. You know, like I used to put water in my cereal. You know, like that's what it was, you know, and
I think you're just setting up your next rap album.
No, that's a legitimate thing. I mean, I moved in with my grandparents when I was going into the eighth grade, and my grandma whooped me into shape. Like I was used to running around doing whatever I wanted to do, no questions asked. And then I moved in with my grandma and I hated her. You know, like
in the eighth grade, what was her form of punishment? Because I'm curious what you do. Like you watch those unruly kids and they have a drill sergeant yell and those kids don't care.
Yeah, one of the things I learned, and I think it's kind of instilled into me today, is that she showed me that it wasn't the right way to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if you have a role model, somebody there showing you how to do things, maybe not, I mean, perfect, but right. Like you don't show up to places late. You show up early. I hated it. Every day I would get to school, high school, she'd take me to school, and I would get there like an hour and a half early.
Ouch.
And I'm like, man, or like 45 minutes early. And when you're young like that, you know, that it just seems like forever.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to get there right on time. You just go in, you know, like you don't want to be there anyway. And so to this day, I like to be early.
Like today when you were like 11 yeah. minutes late?
No, I was 15 minutes early and you guys just didn't even tell me you were here.
15 minutes I'll agree with. 30 was the claim earlier and we all argued.
No,
about
I had
it.
Been sitting there for 30 minutes because it was 9:15.
Nope. No, that's mm-hmm. true. He didn't come in until quarter after 9.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Then. Yeah. I was there for 30 minutes already.
Because you didn't pull on the door?
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. I just said that. I didn't see your car. Anyway, so, I'm late to things sometimes, but most of the time,
but you don't
I want
like
to
being,
be early. Right, yeah, right. I want to be early. Like, it's a pet peeve of mine when people are late or I'm late. You know, I don't like it.
Right.
But I think one of the biggest things that I've learned is that you don't, if you expect kids to do things, that's not the right way to do it. Because a kid is going to do what they want to do. And you can't expect them to be good. You can't expect them to make the right decision. They're a kid. They're stupid.
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't have the life skills.
I agree. Yeah, right. I agree.
They don't have the life skills to make the proper decision. So I do it with my kids. I don't expect a certain thing. I require it. That is what I require. That is the law. So if I say something, yeah, if I say something, I don't have to whoop my kids. You know what I mean? Like one of the most crucial ages to work and mold your kid to be who you want to be is between the ages of 1 and 3. If you let them run around, hit people in the restaurant, kick the seat, you know what I mean? Throw stuff off the table and just be a general ass.
Right.
When they turn 6, that's how they're going to be.
Right.
And one of the biggest things I see people do is argue with their kids.
Like I think we're just interviewing Brad right now.
So. Well, I mean, you have a
thanks
chance
for coming
to
on the show, Brad.
You have
no,
a chance
no,
I, to talk,
no, I'm not saying
I,
that.
I
want to know, did your parents spank you when you were little? You're a good example.
Oh man, I got whooped.
So I think the difference is like I didn't have a real bad childhood, and it's interesting to hear yours because you're kind of the example of someone that they let run free, and you were the bad kid.
Yeah,
and I think you turned out all right.
Yeah,
sort of.
And well, it's one of those things. I think it's how you're built. You know how your brain's wired because like my parents were druggies. And they just made bad decisions in general.
Right.
I don't want to be like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I don't want my kids to be like that. I want my kids to have role models. I want them to see the right way. Or not necessarily, like I said, it's not the perfect way, but at least a decent way of living, you know? So I made a conscious decision to not be my parents. And in that sense, it is harder for me to let my kids go out and do stuff on their own. But I know that I need to. You know what
right.
I mean? Like they want to
right.
go out and ride their bikes in the front. They're old enough to go out there and play by themselves. They know not to go in the road. You know, they wear their helmets. You know what I mean? They make decent choices, you know, and they know not to wander off.
Right.
But it's still hard. You know what I mean? It's hard to
sit
in the house and know that they're out there and just be like, ugh. Like, you know, like, and then you go out there and say they went down to their friend's house and they're gone. Like, it's hard not to panic.
So do
you know,
spankings like, happen though?
What's that?
You do spank sometimes? You do time
oh,
out?
Oh, no. Yeah. I did what I call the sneak attack. And it was never, I never was like, oh, you're getting a whooping. Like,
right.
I was very much like, I'm like, you know what? Okay, you want to do that? Go ahead. Go do it. Go to your room and go do that. Don't listen to what I said. And then they, oh, okay. And they you know, and they walk off and they start
coming.
Going down the hall. And here I come. Spat. And they,
Indiana Jones.
The look on their faces, like just because it's the surprise, you know, they
you can only do that understand. A couple of times though. Then they're expecting that, right?
No, like, it's because it would
be
random.
Looking over their shoulder.
Remember, it would be random.
Stupid.
Yeah, it
kids
would be
are stupid.
It would be random.
I don't know if I agree with that part.
It would be random. You know, it was sometimes I would tell them to go to the room and I'll be in there and I would whoop. And I'm not talking about beating your kids.
Right.
It is obviously wrong
and
emotionally hurtful. You know, and abusive to beat your kids, but
right. use a bike tube on your knuckles so it doesn't leave bruises.
Right. Yeah. A little bit of glass and glue.
Yeah.
But to spank your kids, to show them that they did something wrong, I am pro that. I know there's people that would never hit their kid, and some kids don't need a spanking.
Right.
But I know I needed my ass whooped. You know what I mean? Like the only thing that I understood was somebody punching me. You know, like,
right.
like I mean, or whooping me with a belt, you know, or a hanger, or a wooden spoon.
Did you get punched?
Yeah, oh yeah, man, I got everything, man.
I got spankings, I got belt, I got, you know, some stuff.
Yeah, I remember my mom tried to punch me and I dodged and she hit the window.
I got tossed one time. I did get tossed.
Yeah, I got tossed. I kicked my dad in the balls so hard one time and he just...
How old were you?
Huh?
How old were you?
It was last week.
No.
Maybe...
Have you seen his dad?
No.
Neither. No, that's true story.
Credit to Sid Melvin. Thank you, Sid Melvin, for that joke.
No, I think I was probably in about the fifth grade, probably, and I got punched in the face.
Oh, you still knew him as late as that? I thought he left earlier.
No. I had a stepdad.
Oh. So you kicked stepdad or real dad?
Stepdad. I never met my real dad, biological father.
We found him on Facebook, though. Clone, man.
I don't know, man.
I'm pretty sure that's him, man. You didn't hit him up or anything?
Nah.
Let's go find him.
Nah. You know, and like that's one of the things. Like I was talking to my fiance last night about like, oh, because she grew up, her parents are still together today.
Right.
You know, she has a family and they all have events. I don't have anybody.
I got an idea. Let's go find him with Disneyland tickets and then we take him to Disneyland. Well, then we'll just ditch him. We ditch him at the gate.
Be like, how do you like that?
Yeah. Be like, Dad, you know, yeah, let's just make up. It's cool. Just, I know you left, but.
Just whoop his ass in the haunted house when the lights go out.
And there you
just,
go.
Just pull out pillow sacks with soap in them.
Throw them off on small world.
But you know, like we were, I was talking last night because she was saying, like, we were talking about going to do this episode. And I was like, I'm on purpose, I'm not going to study because I know a lot about kids and I have my own kids and I want to put my own experiences into it, you know? And, but we were talking about that, about not having a father, you know, and like how that's strange to her. But I grew up like that. I grew up, my parents, like, not that they're bad people. Like I said, they just made bad decisions, you know,
and they haven't murdered anybody.
They just made stupid decisions. And I have three great sisters and they're all doing very well. And, you know,
I'm with you on the parent thing. I grew up with my parents divorced. I have no memory of my parents being together. They actually got a divorce before. Well, actually, they were never legally married, but they got a fake divorce.
If they were together long enough, yeah.
A year before I was even born, my mom just wanted one more kid to balance out my brother, so she got pregnant even after they were already kind of separated, divorced.
To balance out your brother, explain that.
Give him a friend.
It was like a dog.
Knew, he needs someone to play with.
She likes things in twos.
She said that like 6 months in, she knew that my brother was going to be the biggest handful she ever had.
Right.
And she wanted to have another child to balance him out.
And, someone she could love. Yes.
And my brother and I are truly night and day. We are about as opposite from each other as we can.
And that's how kids are.
Right. But oddly, we're almost identical, but we're completely different in some weird way.
I have to say that, like, that's how my kids are. Like, I have one, my young one, she's like the carefree, you know, like just she's happy all the time, you know, and just kind of just wants to play. And my other daughter's the older one. Not just because she's getting older, she has just been emotional her whole life. Like she's very, like, just she's gets upset about certain things, and it's just like it's harder to deal with, you know. And I'm divorced, and it is new to them. Like they knew us together, and even I mean, when we split up, my youngest daughter was 3, and the hardest thing in the world was to hear her in front of my girlfriend be like, why can't you and mommy get back together? I just want you guys to get back together.
Oof, right.
And like that was incredibly hard to, I mean, how do you explain to your kid who has no idea what's going on? All they know is they want their mom and dad together, because when they're with their mom, they miss me. When they're with me, they miss their mom. Like that is the worst thing.
Can we make sure we put some violin strings behind this? Yeah, this is like a heavy episode. This shit got real.
No. I mean, I'll talk about punching kids later and how I have fun with that. But it's one of those things that, you know, how do you deal with that emotionally with the kid? You know what I mean? Like, and I think how I did it was I stayed strong. I tried to explain to them as best as I could that, look, it had nothing to do with you guys.
Right.
It's just, this is the way it's going to be, you know, like,
and I know a lot of people, I mean, I personally know a lot of people who are in completely horrible, dysfunctional, loveless marriages.
Yeah, and it's horrible.
And they only stay together because of their kids, because they don't want to confront that moment. And my, I mean, my advice, I mean, I don't give them the advice because they're not going to listen anyway, but it's like, I just can't imagine that the constant fighting and hating each other and passive, like your kids are going to grow up in the unhealthiest emotional household imaginable. And wouldn't it be a million times better if you guys got a divorce and they lived 50-50 at the different houses and saw both of their parents happy instead, like individually, instead of them together, and there's
trade-offs. Like, and me and Brent have talked about this, you know, there's trade-offs with the divorce. Like, yes, you are not that you don't like that person anymore, or maybe they've changed.
Right.
But the thing is, there's trade-offs with the kids. Like, I feel, I fully support, and this is on a rational level, I fully support, and I think that I have to, if my kid's being bad at their mom's house, I need to address that. You know what I mean? I support the discipline aspect, even though we're separated. I'm not like, hey, go over to your mom's house and be a little ass, you know?
There are people that do that, though.
No, man. I know, but that's not the right way to be, because that actually messes up your kids.
Yeah. Or bad talking
mom. Bad talking the person, you know, all that stuff. Like, that is a horrible, and you know, you can think whatever you want about it, like if you're doing it or not, but that is a horrible thing to do to your kids. They're in the middle of it.
Right.
Nobody likes to be in the middle of a fight. You know, and instead of taking it between you and the person there, now you're apart and you put your kids in the middle of it.
Yeah, no.
And they don't have the experience or knowledge to understand what's happening. You know, all they know is that, oh, you guys hate each other. Well, now you're raising them to be that same person.
Right.
They know that it's okay to do that. And I'm not with that program. I really will try and back up what she does, and I expect the same from her, you know, like and you know, It seems to be working out okay, you know. But like I said, I know there's messy divorces, and I know there's bad things going on. You know, it is what it is. So some people are just rude and ignorant.
So Dave was like 6'5" in the second grade, and I want to know if his mom was able to spank him.
I never got spanked once in my life.
That's really what's wrong with you.
I've never been
spanked. Me and Brad are going to jump you before
I've never been spanked. I've never been grounded.
What?
I never did anything
wrong.
Wrong. I never did anything. I just sat in my room and read. And I mean, the best punishment my mother
took a book away
to me. No, the best punishment she could do, which is the exact opposite of any other child I know, the best punishment she could do was force me to go outside and play with my brother and the neighborhood friends. Like, if I did something wrong, she said, you were going to go outside and you're going to play for 3 hours. And I would be like, oh fuck, no. I am so sorry, mom. Do not make me go out there and play.
He's a vampire.
I did not want to have anything to do
with that. And that's exactly what I said, that there's some kids who don't need a spanking. You know what I mean? And there's some kids that just need to be severely beaten.
How do you discipline your kids,
bro? Man, I try to talk it out as much as I can. You know what I mean? Sometimes a SWAT happens, but it works. It just takes more time. Like, you just have to let them, like, hey, why are you crying right now? Like, we're just talking about putting your shoes on. We're going to eat, like you said.
Well, I'm not
going to
whoop my kids for crying and not putting their shoes on.
I mean, we're going to go eat. You know, why? But, you know, there are some videos on YouTube of kids, like, spitting and convulsing and breaking things in their house over putting their shoes on.
Yeah. Right? Well, and there's some kids who cry so hard, they pass out. You know what I mean? Like, we have a friend, I'm not going to mention him on the air, that their kid cries so hard that they just go out.
Yeah,
like, and so they get scared, you know, like, what do you do? Because they're going to go out and knock themselves out.
And I think, I'm just thankful, like, I have good kids for the most part. I mean, they get emotional and they do things, but I don't think anything abnormal, you know? Yeah. So we talk it out. I just say, hey, why are you crying right now? Like, let's just talk. Look me in the eye. Calm down. Breathe. Please stop crying. Can't understand what you're saying. You know, and then if it's not stopping, you know, and we escalate, all right, you want to go to your room? But a lot of times they'll call my bluff. They're like, yep. And I'm like, no, we're going to eat. We have to go to the restaurant. That was a bluff. Dang it.
And see, there's like, that's one of my pet peeves too, is like people arguing with their kid.
Right.
Like, and it, all that does is breed them thinking that they're an adult. You know, like you tell them something, oh no, I don't have to do that. I know what's best for me. You know, like, I'm like, you're three. You don't know. You do what I tell you to do.
Right.
Like, and people argue with kids.
No.
And I'm like, there's no arguing.
No, there is no argument. I win, you lose. Yeah. That's the argument.
Yeah. Like, this will escalate. But I think too, like, there's a misunderstanding of spanking your children. I think if you spank your children and like you spank them and they're in their room or whatever, you send them to the room, you spank them, you swat them, whatever you do. And they go to their room. most kids, if you go in there 10 minutes later and say, so why did you get in trouble?
Right.
They're going to say something completely different from why they got in trouble. They're going to tell you, well, I got in trouble because of this. Or they're going to say, I don't know.
Right.
So when you correct a behavior of that kid, you're correcting something that you know, but they don't know.
Right.
So one of my things that I've always done is if I've gotten my kid in trouble and it's something that I don't want them to do, you know, it's not just something stupid, you know, like they're being goofy and they need to get sent to the room.
Spill their juice. You rub their nose in it before you spill
yes,
them.
Yes. But no, I always give them a little time to calm down. And then I always go in and I talk to them in a calm manner and say, look, do you know why you got in trouble? Do you know why I'm upset?
He's like, I don't know. I just walked down the hallway. You sneaked. But you said everything to go to my room and you sneaked.
That's
attacking
the thing. Like I have a super huge, like, I don't know what it is. I'm like so crazy about certain things. Like I have a coffee table in my house that the lid opens and closes. Like you could put blankets and stuff in, you know, like,
right.
And it opens and closes. And for whatever reason, every fucking kid in the world that comes into the house starts sliding that fucking thing open and close. And I'm like, ooh, stop. Like, don't do it. Like, that is not a toy. Stop touching it. You know, like, and my daughters, they used to do it all the freaking time. And I don't know how, I told them over and over and over and over, and I never stopped. And if they went in today, I would still say the same thing. And I told them, like, one of them would get in trouble. I'd send them to their room for doing that. I would go in and I would talk to him. So why did I get upset? Why do you think I'm mad at you? Oh, because I did this. And I'm like, no, that's not why. They're on some completely other level.
It's because you didn't beat them within 30 seconds of the event occurring. They have
that's an animal.
Yeah.
That's right. That's an animal.
It works. I'm trying to help David. I'm bringing David to this. Right.
So, you know, like that's I don't know. That's what I do. I mean, you know, I beat them and then talk to them nicely. So.
This has been Deep Thoughts by Brad Taylor. Yeah.
Let me, I want to, one of the things, once we decided to talk about parenting, and I mentioned this at the very top of the show, that I was curious about is the safety factor, because everybody assumes that, I think anyway, most people assume the world is less safe now than it was when we were kids and that they behave accordingly in their parenting. So I looked at several different articles. A lot of it was done by the Washington Post, but they cited the CDC, the Bureau of Justice Statistics, the DMV, all sorts of like pretty legitimate article full of pretty good stats. And they said that in the 1930s, there were 450 premature deaths for every 100,000 children between the ages of 1 to 4, 450 in the 1930s. Now there's less than 30 a year.
Oh,
so
wow.
There were 450 now.
Because you guys were swimming across lakes.
Yeah, we were swimming across lakes. Stupid. And they attribute this 1 to 4 age category, a lot of it strictly based on medicine,
sicknesses,
vaccines,
and stuff
things
like
that.
Plus, but people were like haphazardly having babies just to balance things out.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. But even updating it in the 1990s, there were 90 deaths per 100,000 in the 15 to 19 age group. So 90 deaths per 100,000 in 1990. Yeah. And today, there are 40 deaths.
So it's up and down, up and down.
Half. No, it's just consistently down.
Oh, yeah.
And then in 1990, in the age 5 to 14, there were 23 deaths. Today, there were 7. So that's premature deaths. Murder, which got more interesting to me, in the early 90s, 1993, there were 12 murders per 100,000 in the 5 to 14 age group. And in 2000,
what are considered murders? Is that like vehicular manslaughter?
No,
is
intentional
that like
murder.
Intentional, like I'm going to kill you.
Yeah,
intentional. Parents kill their kids.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like that's probably.
Yeah, I wonder of that stat, how many were the parents?
Yeah.
Probably a significant amount, I would think.
So the kid's pretty safe,
right? So there were 12 in 93 out of 100,000 people.
Yeah,
and in 2008 it was down to 5 in 100,000. That means that the chances of premature death by any means. Today is 1 in 10,000 or 0.01% of children die from murder or illness or some premature
or whatever premature death.
Abduction, which is a big fear from a lot of people. Again, numbers have fallen drastically. In the early 90s,
almost. Why are you kidnapping people?
Like, I don't know.
Like, I don't know.
Because it puts a lotion.
Well,
on
I know there's
skin.
Like a sex trafficking, like that's a real deal. Like there's a sex trafficking thing, and that still goes on today.
That is a real deal. So the abductions in the early 90s, there was 800 per 100,000, and now there's 470. The FBI says we're at an all-time national low on abductions and kidnappings for the entire history of the nation. And then even traffic deaths in 1990, there were over 800 deaths. Today, there was only 220. I mean, in every category I could find dealing with safety, down, whether it's down, murder, down. Whether it's illness, whether it's abduction, like every single statistic isn't just down. It's like radically down.
Yeah.
But everyone still assumes that the world is so much more violent, so much more hostile. And the only thing I, as media. I often do, is point to the media. Because if it was in 1970 and a kid, something happened to a kid, you didn't find out about it unless you lived in that city. But if it happens now, you're going to see posts about it on Facebook. It's going to be on national news. It's going to be on a satellite
and stuff
feed.
Gets regurgitated something happened in 2012 and it's getting regurgitated and circulated to millions and millions and millions of hundreds of millions of people. And it's news, like, oh, did you hear about this? Yeah.
And I don't even think that it's safer. It's probably because of our, you know, our behavioral change and awareness. You know what I mean? It's that we don't let our kids swim across the lake by themselves all night.
I think you're assuming that there's a lot of people who let their kids run rampant.
But probably not like back in the day. Like, no, I got to run around.
That's an interesting point to make. I mean, maybe the death statistics were higher because parents were
paranoid. Now that they're paranoid now because of social media, it's caused them to be overly protective and safe and probably lowered those numbers.
But then, I mean, meanwhile, and there's an author named Lenore Skenazy who wrote a book called Free Range Kids, and she sort of critiques.
I'd have been like, I can't remember the author's
free
name.
Free Range Kids. So is she in promotion or?
They're organic and cage-free
organic cage-free kids. No, but
can
she
we eat
said,
them?
You know, her stat, and it leads to some of this stuff, is there's a 1 in 1.5 million chance of your child being abducted, and there is a 1 in 3 chance of your child being obese. But we only care about the abduction.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I'm going to buy my kids a lottery ticket and then leave them next to a black van in the forest. Because what's the chances both happen?
Right.
I mean, I'm not.
Only one.
Look, I'm not a super fit person. Like, I mean, but I'm not obese. And
I don't know about that. One thing
that, like, I don't know what it is about my brain. But when I see like a big person, and I'm not trying to be an asshole, but I see a big person like in McDonald's or like somewhere eating, it grosses me out. Like, it really does.
How do we get to that? How are we on that? I'm
interested. 1 in 3 obesity of children.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to the kidnapping. Right. Because, like, you see these little fat little bags of kids running around. I mean, they're
fat
huge.
Fat bags of kids.
Yeah, they're huge. Like, they have bellies bigger than, I mean, full-grown,
I was picturing like a group of kids. You just mean the one kid represents
the one
a fat
kid,
bag of kids.
Yeah, it looks like a bag of potatoes. Like, and he's got, like, a soccer, soccer cleats on. Like, no, but they let these kids, and one of the biggest things is, like, well, he won't eat vegetables, or he won't eat this or that. He'll only eat peanut butter and Reese's Pieces candies.
So,
like, really?
I watched a whole documentary about feeding children. I think it was on one of our fast food episodes. And this is the thing. We're just fortunate that I know what you're getting ready to say. It's like, just buy broccoli and chicken and they got nothing else to eat. If they're hungry, they'll eat it. There are kids that are just crazy. They will just spit and break windows. And I don't know what those people are to do. Like,
that's because they let them get like that.
No, that's probably the truth.
They let them. I mean, if you let your kid... He throws a tantrum in the back seat of the car, and you give them what they want because they throw that tantrum. Guess what? Next time he wants something, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
Exactly that. I mean, just like a dog. The dogs push boundaries. You keep letting the dog get out of the yard or let them do what they want to do. They come in and chew your couch up. If you don't prevent that,
that's why,
or punish them for it, then they keep doing it.
The small couch is mine, and I keep a squirt bottle there for the cats and the kids.
Yeah.
That's because your son always tries to chew on the couch.
Get up there, and I'm like, I'll tell you if I want you in my lap, squirt.
But no, that is an interesting point, though. I'm curious how much of the reduction in accidents and deaths is because of more parents.
And so accidents and everything has gone down and obesity has gone up.
Yeah.
Because kids sit in their room on, oh, well, he has his PlayStation and this and that. And they just sit in there for hours on end playing video games or on social media. And that's probably a very true statistic that it caused a spike. I wonder how much it actually did, though. Like, I wonder what the balance would be if we didn't have, you know, the video game age and the internet. Like,
but
what would it be?
The other thing is, though, a lot of experts, I mean, look at the lack of freedoms that children have as also a problem because like we I mentioned it when you talked about how you got lost, you're at your friend's house and you got in trouble that one time
and
you learned a lesson.
Right.
And it's like, if, you know, a lot of psychological research on children say that, you know, a kid, like when kids know, like kids take pride in knowing a different way to get home from school than their parents do or than other kids do. And they take risks and they explore things. And every exploration that they go on, every risk that they take teaches them
a reward or a consequence.
So a lot of children who are never given a chance to risk or explore or do anything don't have any sense of self. There's no like.
Yeah. And
so,
I think that goes into creating a sheltered child. You know what I mean? Like you send them out in the world and, you know, like you hear about kids that go to college and their parents never let them do anything. What do they do in college? They go crazy.
Right.
I mean, they just do everything that they can do. Every dude that they see, they're doing them, and, you know, guys and girls. Yeah. So it's hard to let your kid go out and kind of run around, but I think it's necessary to do it. Like if your kid wants to go outside and they're old enough and responsible enough to be by themselves, then you have to let them.
And I think it also depends on where you live. I mean, I lived on a lake in Michigan. I mean, odds are if something happened, it was because I was a dumbass and I fell in a hole or I dropped into the lake. I mean, odds are it wasn't some person because we were isolated. We were out in nature and it tended to be like the worries weren't there.
Yeah.
I mean, but if I lived in like, you know, exactly. If I lived like in the ghetto or in a place that's just full of like just busy intersections, it's like I, you know, in Michigan, a kid wants to be on the bike, like, I don't care, go 10 miles out. There's no one out here. You're cool. But in a busy intersection environment, your kid might get hit by a car.
Yeah, but there's a backyard. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's a backyard. There's things you can do. And the other thing, too, like, when I mean, I grew up in bad neighborhoods, and more kids than ever were running around in the bad area than in my neighborhood now. I live in a nice, you know, decent neighborhood. And there are so many less kids running around, you know, wreaking havoc.
That's a cultural thing, too. Like, I was at the bank the other day, and a gentleman of a different ethnicity than myself was in line, and his kid was like, I mean, diaper, like maybe 1.5, 2, little boy, super cute. But the guy was standing in line waiting for the teller.
Not watching the baby.
This kid was so far that I was like, it was making me uncomfortable, and it's not my kid. I was like, man, keep that kid by your side. Like, I can see letting him run around by the plant because he's going to fuss or something. But this kid took off and then made a right turn. And I was like, now you can't see him.
That dude ain't,
I'll hold your place
care.
In line. Yeah. Like, I understand. Like, go grab your boy. And he, like, looked over, saw that his kid was not in sight and over messing with, like, the bank people at the desk, probably somewhere in a cubicle, you know, literally like 100 feet away from him and 2 years old. And he just looked back at the teller, looked down at his clock, was kind of looking at, shuffling through his paperwork. I was like, that is crazy to me.
That is crazy.
But, you know, maybe that kid's going to be resilient. And if he makes it through it, survival of the fittest.
Yeah, yeah, it's like if at he least can't he make
gets
it.
A,
he
I do gets have to chance. Say this for other ethnicities is, like Hispanic specifically, when you go to the swap meet, those kids are not socially afraid of anything. They're up there yelling like Gatorade, Pepsi,
like the
Cola,
ones who
like
are working
boom.
At the
they're school. Working. Yeah. They talk to people. They help their parents handle the PG&E. Yeah. They, you know, because they speak English.
Well, it's because they've
don't.
Been put into that environment.
Yeah.
Like if you're expected to do something, you know that you got to get up here and you got to do this.
Right.
Then that's.
And I go to Target the other day shopping for presents, and I can't get my daughter to go ask the lady for assistance. I'm like, you're 11. Go tell that lady that we need help, and she will come over and help us.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I'm like, dude, there's like a 5-year-old slinging baked potatoes at the swap meet last week, like nobody's business. Yeah. Like, you're gonna walk over
handing
and ask the
churros.
Target girl,
right,
if we can have some help with this locked box over here. Like, please come over here.
Yeah, I think that has to do. And I'm not saying like that you specifically did that to your kids. Like, kids can be wired that way to where they're just kind of not social. And have some sort of social interaction issues.
I try to hand the money to my kids and make them complete the transaction.
Yeah, and that's good. Like, you know, but I think that some kids are bred that way, and then some kids, they're made that way by
their
parents.
Dave didn't want to leave the room, and he still doesn't want to come to a barbecue, you know?
Yeah,
he will politely decline.
But that's the way he's wired, right? You know what I mean?
Like, when he meets you, he's like, nice to meet you.
And
just
I'm
to let
very,
you know I'm not a social guy. I won't be coming to your event in advance. No, thank you.
And that's awesome. Like, he's very forward about it, and that's cool. Like, and I'm very social. Like, I can sell stuff. I can talk to people. I'm like the, you know, the stranger to friend, or, you know, friend to a stranger to friends type person. You know, like, I'm more comfortable talking to somebody I don't know.
You give candy to strangers.
Don't know. Yes. And the other
back of your van.
Yes.
If they take it, they're messing up.
I'm getting a free candy van next year. Right. Next year, I'm getting a free candy van for Halloween.
Nice.
And but anyway, that's a different topic. We'll talk about that.
That's one of those both sides are negative. If you take candy from strangers or give candy to strangers,
yeah, it's
is
weird.
It positive?
It's awkward. No, it's weird. I had an old guy. I was pushing my daughter.
It's okay. I think.
My daughter was like one, maybe. Like she was setting up in a cart, like just started walking, maybe, you know. And we were in Target, and like this old guy came up, and he's like, "Oh, you know, cute daughter. She's so beautiful. Can I give her a candy?" And I'm like,
"Like it creeps
you out. She's one." Like, she doesn't really need candy.
Right.
She's gonna choke.
And yeah, I mean, and yeah, I guess. Like, I didn't want to be rude, you right. know? And so he, like, pulls out this candy out of his pocket, like a Werther's Original or something, you know? And
I
gives it.
Risking your kid's life because you don't want to be rude.
Yeah, well, I mean.
It's socially awkward.
No.
I'm with
I didn't,
you.
No, I didn't let her eat it.
Right. No, I
mean, you know what
too.
I mean? Like, yeah, it's like, oh, cool, thank you, sir. You know, whatever, walk
it.
Off. Like, yeah.
I ate
let me
it.
Test
fuck my
this.
Daughter.
Yeah.
That was a
no,
Werther's.
I'm not going to fuck my daughter.
It was delicious.
Ooh.
No, I'm not going
to
do that.
I was going to follow up. I specifically skipped this guy's name because his last name was Seaman, and I didn't want to say it because I knew you'd have a ball with it.
He doesn't have any kids.
I didn't even
so
mention it.
This,
yeah.
So, well, now that you've got
yeah,
Seaman
now
on
that
the
you,
table.
Yeah.
That was my segue. My Seaman segue.
So who's
now that there's semen coming out of your mouth.
Break it down.
All right. So I did some research, and I found some interesting stuff about something called pivot points, and mm-hmm. it's basically periods in the day or you know, unique points and change in activity that are usually the behavioral problems. So mm-hmm. it's like your kid's watching TVs, watching cartoons, but now it's time to get dressed and get ready for school.
Go to school, yeah.
You know, and that's when the kid's like, I don't want to get ready for school. I don't want to do this. Or it's, hey, it's time to take a bath and go to bed. Or, hey, it's time to brush your teeth. And there's those pivot points. And so the point in that is identifying what are the pivot points that are problems for you mm-hmm. and figuring out how to overcome those. And one of the really cool things that that one of the guys I saw talked about was taking advantage of reverse psychology. Like yeah. when you were little, you could tell your siblings, like, he used the example, like, hey, I bet you can't get me a glass of water in less than 25 seconds. And they're like, yes, I can.
Turn it into a challenge.
Yeah.
yeah.
Everybody's happy. Yeah. yeah. You turned a task into a challenge, and there's reward in a challenge
yeah,
where
yeah,
there's
yeah.
not in the
they
task.
They won. Yeah.
You
they
tell
won.
Them to get me a glass of water. Like, I'm going to get your own glass of water. Like, I'm not going to get me water. But when you give them the challenge, they yeah. feel like they've accomplished something. And so if you can figure
that's
out.
That's a reward system.
Yeah.
Itself,
a monetary
yeah.
type, like, what is your child's currency? What is their favorite thing? And don't yeah. make the assumption of what your child's currency is, because you may be surprised. Like, a lot of people are like, well, eat your dinner and you can watch TV.
You know what's funny about that concept is?
What's that?
Is I read a book, and that concept
you didn't read
is,
a book.
No, I did, actually. It's the only book I've ever read.
Oh, I know what it is.
Page to page.
All right.
And it's the same concept of marriage.
Right.
Is you have to find out your partner's reward system, like
right.
what makes them feel loved.
Right.
And like, and it's a similar thing. That is how our systems work.
Right.
So that is actually a good method,
for
I
sure.
think. You know, I mean.
So, well, what he says is like,
positive rewards.
So talk to your kid and figure out what it is they want. So the method they used was they made like Monopoly money currency. So you could probably
yeah.
go buy a Monopoly refill or
which
something.
Which teachers
do that
right. in class. They
right.
give fake money to kids to buy stuff from the
yeah.
student store.
So,
you
and
know?
Then you put up a chart and it has a chore list, and you're like, hey, you get this many dollars. Some people even do it with real dollars, which I thought
yeah.
was kind of cool. You make a chart and you put a, like a, with a clothespin at the top
yeah.
with a dollar on the top of each task. So if they want to take that dollar, all they have to do is go do that. Go take out the trash, go clean your room, go grab
that
thing.
Or you have the little shit kid that just takes the money when you're not looking.
Maybe. Unless you got one kid and then they're busted. But
yeah.
So they use something like Monopoly money. And so then they can take that, and then there's these certain things sort of like a store. And now you can go claim these goods. So
yeah.
some of the goods they put up on the thing was like baking night.
So
like,
you're teaching them to be a slave for the man.
No, you're teaching them life. You do this thing. It's
right.
what life is. You
yeah.
get money.
Yeah.
And then you get this thing that you want. But
yeah,
what they
want,
found.
If you want the lights on in your room this next month, you have to make this X amount of dollars off the chart.
Right? What they found was, though, it wasn't what they
taking
thought.
Taking the bulbs out.
Like, a lot of people make, like, the parents would make the assumption that, like, hey, if you do this, I'll let you watch TV. What they found was the kid didn't want to watch TV. He didn't really care about watching
yeah.
TV that much. He wanted to have baking night.
Yeah.
Like,
you can't
oh, can
make,
we make cookies?
You can't make the reward for them.
Yeah. So
yeah.
you figure out what their currency is. And so you by giving them a currency and letting them choose the reward. And so they would pick, like, oh, tonight we're going to do crafts instead of watching
yeah.
TV. And a lot of kids would choose that.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. And
which was really
neat. I think one of the biggest things about any type of system like that or any type of discipline with your kids is following through.
Right.
I had a boss, and this is when I worked with kids, and she's a genius. Like she was the one of the greatest people I've ever known. And she always said, if you tell your kid you're going to die, then you better die. Like, you cannot lie to the kid.
Right.
Like if you say you're going to do something, you have to do it.
Right.
If you tell them this is the consequence, you have to
right,
or follow through with the consequence, or else they know
apart.
That you're bullshitting.
Yeah.
They're the best bullshitters of bullshitters.
When you do A, B happens.
Yes.
Every time. Yes. So they know what
to expect.
Same
thing with the reward system. Yeah. If you say, hey, if you get X amount of dollars, like we'll do the baking night that you wanted to do, well, you better get off your fucking ass and do the baking
right.
night. Because and if even, you don't and tell them like,
right,
oh,
then it's even worse.
Later, I'm busy right now, then you're fucked.
And the reward, I mean, I don't have kids, but I have nephews and a niece, and one of my nephews, I wanted to use them for slave labor because I had to, I was planting my garden for the spring, for the summer, it was early spring, and I had to I wanted to fully trench where I plant everything, and I wanted to put in new soil and put in a bunch of stuff, and it was going to take a lot of digging. He's like 12 and has a hardy back, so I was going to put him to work, and he stayed the night. We played video games, screwed around, and then the plan was in the morning we were going to do all this stuff, and then he hadn't seen the final Batman movie. And I was like, and then we'll watch Batman, grab some food, I'll take you back home. So we did the backyard, and it took for freaking ever. I mean, it took forever to get it done. It was a lot more labor intensive than I thought.
You're not wanting to watch Batman.
Right.
Now.
Well, no, and we were exhausted, and we went in. I fixed us lunch, and I was like, look, we've only got a couple more hours, so we won't worry about the front yard. We'll go ahead and do Batman. And he was like, okay. And I was like, wait, you don't want to watch Batman? He was like, I'd rather finish the front. And I was like, oh shit. Okay.
It's because he had fun spending time with his
that
uncle.
Wouldn't have been the reward I thought the whole thing was like, you're gonna get to see Batman. And he was like, no, I'd rather work in the yard.
It was a sense of accomplishment.
Right. And I was
again.
Like, let's do it. You know, so I underestimated grossly what he wanted as a reward. You know,
in my own battles as parenting recently, and I'm having trouble just holding myself to the commitment to keep consistent, is I implemented a little family plan. Like I felt kind of crazy doing it, but I literally typed it out on paper and went home and said, hey, everybody's eating at the table tonight. And then I break out this, two-page little thing in 12 font of things that I thought, because, that I'm best going to communicate that if I have it in writing in front of me. Yeah. I'm never going to be able to say it like I can write it. So the basic rules that we implemented, and it has made a difference, a noticeable difference. And I think that it would help other people. I'm in no way a perfect parent, but this has been good for me.
Nobody is.
In eating dinner as a family, I think it's super, super important.
I'm a perfect parent.
Having a basic schedule for meals and bathing, because they know exactly what to expect. Yeah. To have a realistic expectation, because the cool thing that happens with it is my kids would constantly fight about Berkeley's taking a bath first. No, Maddox is taking a bath first. I took a bath first last time.
Yeah.
Guess what? Maddox takes a bath at 8 o'clock. Berkeley takes a bath at 8:30.
Yeah.
That's it. It's a schedule. And so if they're playing video games, the clock's ticking up on the thing. It says 7:53. Guess what Maddox knows? He's got 7 minutes. It's an expectation that's happening. It's not something I'm imposing on him. I only imposed it once. It's now the norm. It's the standard of expectation. He knows he has 7 minutes. I'm not making the clock move.
Well, scheduling.
It's 8 o'clock is 8 o'clock.
Scheduling is important. If you let your kid go to bed at 1 o'clock every night and then try to expect them to go to bed at 8, guess what fight you're going to be fighting?
Right.
Getting them to go to sleep.
It's been a great thing, because I walk in the door. I'm like, hey, how was school? What'd you do? What'd you learn? Nothing. When you set the expectation to have dinner together and we say no TV, no tablet, no phone, including myself, nothing. We're going to sit at the table and have dinner. You find out all kinds of crazy stuff that happened. You know, you found some funny marble on the ground in the sandbox and cat turds and all kinds of cool stuff.
One of the things is when I worked at the school and I worked in an after school program, and I was actually a mentor, and I worked with caseload kids who they were bad kids, but they were good kids. They just had issues. You know, they had issues at home. They had, ADHD or something, where they're having problems and they couldn't make it. But one of the cool things about the program was that there were only four rules in the program, but those four rules covered everything.
The first rule was you don't talk about the program.
And I mean, the four rules covered everything. So if you kicked somebody, it was covered by a rule. You know what I mean? If you did something, it was covered by a rule, because the rules were kind of general.
Right.
And it was
sounds amazing. Cool. I feel like you don't know the rules though.
No, I know the rules. Well, it was respect others. You know what I mean? It was stuff like that. It was just four basic rules. Have fun.
Right.
So if you're not having fun, you're breaking the have fun rule. You know what I mean? It was a very simple set of rules. But one of the things is in classroom management, which this deals same at home, is that If you tell the kids, hey, these are the rules, then you're imposing the rules on them, as opposed to if you let them choose the rules while guiding them to the specific set of rules you want. Well, now they've created the rules, they've made the standard for themselves, and they're more apt to follow them.
Well, because the ultimate goal is for them to self-discipline themselves.
That's what you're doing. Yeah.
To let them think they're making the right decision.
And that's exactly what you're doing. You're not telling them what to do. And so they're like, oh, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to do that. Well, they've made the rule for themselves. You know what I mean? So they've created their own expectations of what they hold themselves accountable to. And I don't think people, when parenting, they don't do that. You know, they just impose, you know, iron fist, like, this is my law. Right. This is what I say goes, and you're going to follow it. Sometimes that works for kids. Sometimes it doesn't.
You really have to put yourself on the level of a child's logic, too, and have a realistic expectation.
Exactly.
You can't go tell your two-year-old to go clean up the room.
Yeah.
Right? That's not going to happen.
Well, my kids did. Like at two, they're cleaning up the room.
Not like you're going to clean it, though. A two-year-old cannot clean
but,
the room.
But the thing is, though, you can't hold them to the you can't hold them to that expectation, but they need to go in there and pick up the blocks, put their shoes where they go.
Assist them to do what they can.
And as they get older, my kids are going to start vacuuming. They like cleaning the dishes. You know what I mean? They like cleaning. They like dusting because that's what they've been accustomed to help. You know, and
my daughter hates doing the dishes, loves baking, disaster. Like, I'm like, hey, as you're done with each thing, you're going to need to put it away. Like, I know you don't like doing the dishes, but if you like baking, doing the dishes is part of baking.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're not baking unless you're doing dishes.
Yeah.
My mom was a genius with that. Most people say that I'm a pretty good cook, and I largely thank my mom for that, because when I was really young, like, every time she wanted to bake something, I always wanted to help.
Yeah.
And at some
point, she let you help.
Yeah. She always let me help. Yeah. She always did, like every single time. And at some point, she made the realization, this little bastard is a good enough cook and he's old enough that I can probably get away with not cooking very much anymore.
Just let him cook.
And so she made the rule that was, anytime I want to cook something, like, let her know before the store, and I can cook it and eat it. So it was like, if I want chocolate chip cookies, that's fine, but you're making chocolate chip cookies. So one by one, I was like, oh, I love spaghetti. And she was like, let me show you how to make spaghetti. And then it was like, guess what? If I want spaghetti again next week, you're cooking spaghetti. So by the time I was in probably fifth grade, I was cooking probably half the meals that our family ate.
And that's good. I mean, if you have an able-bodied kid that can do it, like, that's
and
that's
she was very brilliant, because then she would eventually, it just turned a corner, and she was like, hey, tonight for dinner, we're having chili, Dave. It's like,
okay. While my grandma was still in good health, we were doing a thing with my daughter where we were like, man, this is a lost art. Like, people don't cook anymore. You know, it's a lost thing, and I think it's important. And we were taking my daughter to my grandma's, and she was teaching her to cook things.
Right.
And my daughter's done great. I mean, she can make, if I ask her to make dinner, it might be fish sticks and macaroni and cheese, but literally I could sit down and there will be dinner for everybody. She can cook some stuff.
It's just getting your kids involved, whether it be cooking or, like, I was working on my Jeep and, like, really my daughters aren't going to be able to help me do a whole lot. Like, hey, can you hand me the wrench with 1/2 on it or half, you know, like, and so my daughters are over there looking for stuff, and really it's more of a nuisance than it is a help because they're taking longer.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, like, you're just like, all right, you know, but, you know, like, all they want to do is help, you know, my daughters want to help me. So what do I do? Hey, can you organize all this stuff?
Right.
You know, just give them something to do and they feel like they're accomplishing something. They feel like they're helping you. Even though when I went in and looked at stuff, it was more disorganized than when it first started.
Borrowed this in a 9/16.
Yeah,
I don't even go there.
I promise
that's a 12 millimeter,
damn it. I put some bullshit on plates and handed it to my mom.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I promise you, I made the rankest ass chili and the soggiest or crunchiest noodles.
Lettuce beans.
Still just kind of rolled with it,
know? and that's cool. Like, I mean, but you get the consequences, though, because you got to eat it too,
right? Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, she can go make something after you're in bed,
right? Exactly.
Which is probably what she did.
Probably exactly what she did. But again,
and tomorrow you get leftover chili that is shitty,
exactly. And I think, I mean, I don't have kids, but I think Brent is 100% right about the power of sitting down for a meal. It's like every family I observe where they sit down all the way through the teenagers. It's like, I would, even when I was a teenager and I would go to my friends' houses, and it's like, if it was a family where everyone was just handed their own sack of Taco Bell and they all went into their own rooms.
That happens,
like,
for the record.
It happens all the time.
I'm trying
to
keep this enforced.
But it's like, when I saw family, and, like, to me it was kind of, I mean, even though I don't understand. We always ate dinner together, always, every single night. There was no TV in there. We just ate dinner. Yeah. We talked. That was what we did. But for some reason, when I went to friends' houses to stay the night or whatever, they all ate at the table, it felt weird to me. Maybe it's because I just don't like people and I didn't want to be at the table.
Right. Yeah.
But it was like...
Do you guys have a basement I could borrow?
Yeah, exactly. By the time I was a teenager, though, I would see like... all the families that I knew where my friends hated their mom and dad, constantly fought, always in trouble, they weren't families where they ever sat down together and had dinner.
Right.
Or if I would have, like, parents would flag me down because I was a fairly rational child, and they would ask me questions about their kids because they couldn't find this out from their kids themselves. And I'm like, if you guys sat down at dinner for an hour, right, you're gonna fucking start talking about something.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you gotta start, like, even if, like you said, when they come home from school and you say, what happened at school today? Nothing. And they kick their shoes off and, you know, whatever. Yeah. But when you sit down at dinner, they're just going to organically talk about what happened during the day.
It's and you're going to learn captive
things.
Audience.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to learn things about your kids.
You know, I think one more really important thing that people need to realize too is that not every kid's the same, obviously. And that means your two kids can be completely different. So what works for one does not necessarily work for another. And a good example of that, to give my mom props for trying to deal with us in, you know, high school and teen years, is my mom used a method with me. I was a good kid. She told me that if I was going to drink, I wouldn't be in trouble as long as I called for a ride.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I could drink. And she gave me that open thing. She was like, hey, there's a box of condoms in the closet. If that box is empty, I'll fill that box of condoms.
Right. If I used, you know, all the condoms, then I'll get it. I'll get you some more.
When I was 7 years old, she gave me a drag of a cigarette, which sounds crazy. Right? That sounds like that is a parent fail YouTube video waiting to happen back in the day. I asked her, I was seven, and I was like, I remember it clearly. I said, hey, let me try that. She's like, you're not trying this. I said, let me try it. She's like, you know what? Okay. Pretend that this is a straw.
And you still don't like it.
And breathe in as deep as you. I had a cough fit experience of 30 minutes of the nastiest, whatever, like drooling, tried to rinse my mouth. It tastes like an ashtray. Yeah. It was awful. I hated it. Guess what? My brother, blowing smoke rings. Like, didn't work. Like, he drugged that thing like he was James Dean. Blew it back at her, right? Condom box in the cabinet, probably empty, right?
His first drag, he sucked it in and blew it out his nose.
Yeah. It just goes to show, like, people are different. You know what I mean? People are going to react to different type of disciplinary things.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And we all have different modalities that we learn from. You know, some kids learn by visual stuff. Some kids read, you know, like, some kids like to hear things, you know, hands-on stuff. Like, everybody learns a different way, and kids, you know, that's where kids get it from. You have to figure out how your kid learns, how they listen, you know, what they're doing.
No, you do, and you have to understand what their rewards and punishments are. I mean, my brother's punishment would never have been go outside and play. That's all he wanted
to do. Go in the room with your brother.
Exactly. That was like the worst thing ever. Like, oh my, like, go in the room with your brother would have been a million times worse than go in your own room.
Yeah.
But it's like my mom was a master. She knew what all of us needed as a reward and as discipline. And she treated all of us completely differently.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she treated all of us completely fairly.
Yeah.
She expected the same thing out of us, but she knew this little bastard needs this thing and this one doesn't. And she adapted for all of us. And as adults, when we talk about, oh, remember when mom used to do that? And everybody else is like, no, she never did that. I was like, she did that to me every day because she didn't do it.
And the thing is with that, that takes... And this is a point I wanted to make too, is that takes effort.
Mm-hmm.
It takes effort to tell your kid every time they do something that you don't want them to do, to say stop or don't or whatever it is that you're going to tell them. It takes an effort. If you have to say it 1,000 times, most parents, their kid will do something. They'll tell them to stop, stop, stop. The kid keeps doing it. So what do? They give up.
Right.
They stop.
Yeah.
So who won? The kid.
Right.
They do what they want. Well, he's not going to listen anyway. So I just let him do it.
You know what was really neat for me as a realization that I come to every year? It happens every year to me. I come to some appreciation for my mom, like it, because you don't appreciate it until you had to do it. So every time Christmas rolls around and I'm like, damn, I'm going to buy presents. It's money. It's hard. Like, I'm paying bills. You immediately think back. Yeah. Like, damn, my mom got me like a Power Wheels, dude. Like my parents were like almost divorced and she had like this job, and you start thinking about things.
And she still got you.
Yeah. Then you think about Thanksgiving. You're like, dang, I cooked this turkey and this mashed potatoes and organized this and cleaned the house.
And it cost $300 to buy the food. Like,
school shoes. Yeah. And every time that you have to do it with your own kids, that's the moment you appreciate your parents
One of the things is, and like I said, I more or less was raised by my grandma, you know, my grandma and my grandpa. And I thought about this because there's nothing more inconvenient than your kid needing to go somewhere. or a constant schedule that you have to take your kid and do.
Right.
Oh, they play a sport every week. They're practicing, and every week you got to take them somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's like it's out of your time.
Yeah, you're
but how
playing
often
the
did
sport.
That happen? Yeah. Like you're constantly. When I was a teenager, hey grandma, can you give me a ride over here? Hey, can you come pick me up? Hey, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Like that happened a lot, and with my friends' parents and everybody else who took time out of their schedule to take us places. As a kid, you don't understand or realize what they're doing.
Right.
You're just like, oh, I just need a ride. You
know, as you get your license, though, you realize because mom sends you everywhere, like, hey, we need milk.
Right.
Exactly. Well, and that's if you have a mom or somebody who does that. You know, like I didn't do that. I was like fucking on my own planet, you know?
Right.
But now I'm like, man, like all the times that people took me places and all the times that I was doing something that they took their time out and went and watched or did, like, that's huge.
Yeah.
Like that is a huge thing. Like, and you don't realize it.
And I know,
until you get
and again, I just have to applaud my mom because she was a genius, because I didn't want to do sports. I didn't want to be involved in any of that stuff. The only thing that I ever wanted her to do was take me to the library and take me to the comic book store.
Yeah.
The two things I wanted to do. And she was a master because there was a bar named Jack's that was two blocks away from the library, and it served her favorite cheeseburger and her favorite gin. And
gin and cheeseburgers?
She would take me to the comic book store first, and then she would take me to the library, and she wouldn't even take me to the library. She would take me to Jack's, and she would go into Jack's, and she would drink a gin, and she would eat a cheeseburger, and she would tell me, by the way, take all of my books back, get me 6 new murder mysteries, and then do whatever the fuck you're going to do. I mean, be back here in an hour and a half. And I would go into the library and just look at books and get hers and do some shit, and then get out and meet her back at Jack's, and she'd have a cheeseburger waiting for me, and then we would go home. So it was like, even in that, she was like, what can I get this bastard to do for me?
Another thing.
And make
take,
him think that he's doing for himself.
We take for granted, like, a new parent now in, like, this new age of technology is, like, parents can literally Google, like, what do I do and find a community. Right. There's whole programs and groups and stuff.
The issue with that is that's like Googling conspiracies. Yeah. Like, you get fucking these nut jobs.
Yeah,
like,
there's some good resources, I'm sure, out there. At least you can figure out, like, is this normal? Like, does anyone else's kids scream and
that's
spit?
Very true.
I think it's common sense, though. Like, a lot of stuff. Well, I guess
I think we're lucky, man. Honestly,
common.
I think we're really lucky. I see some of those kids. Some of that is bad parenting. There are kids with behavioral problems.
Kids ass. Like, I mean, I think if you, like I said,
it doesn't
if
fix you, all of it, man.
There's some different ways to do everything. If you require kids to do things, like I said, I'm saying require for a reason. You can't expect them to do stuff. Like, there has to be.
I'm just saying whipping ass doesn't always.
No, I'm not just saying whooping ass. I mean, whooping ass can be fucking doing something else.
Like, think if you got in a fight and you're really mad at somebody and then you lost, they got the better of you. How much more mad are you at that point, right? So, because when you do that and your kid's pissed and they think they know better and they want this, but then you whip them and overpower them, sometimes it has the reverse effect. They're even more mad because now they lost. They're embarrassed.
Well, I'm not talking about just whooping them. I'm talking about anything. Like, I'm talking about whooping ass mentally. You know what I mean? Like, you are in control. If you let a kid tell you what to do, there's no coming back.
I know. I watch some of those shows. I'm like, take everything out of their room.
It's a dog. No, I mean,
dude, this kid. You gotta just watch some of those behavioral problem kids. It's insane. Their parents are like trying to hold them still, bear hugs, scratching,
and
spitting, biting.
And again, it's too late. They let them get that way. There's some kids with mental issues.
I mean, like, I watch ones with like reasonable, compassionate, single moms caring, making it a real effort. It looks like they're doing the right thing and they're trying to do it.
Because they've let the kid be the alpha.
I think there's exceptions though.
No,
I
there is. No, I'm not saying this is a one blanket cover statement. I mean, you could sit here and you know, a listener could be like, damn, my kid's running all over me and I don't know what to do.
Well, I'll tell you
this guy's an asshole.
A 12-year-old boy and a 30-year-old mom that's, you know, 140 pounds or something. A 12-year-old boy, that's a problem.
Difference is that moms aren't as, when you hear a dad or when you have somebody that's an adult male figure in your life, it creates a different aspect as to their mom. You know what I mean? The mom, it's just like a female teacher and a male teacher. Male teacher is going to get more respect from students because unless he's a pushover, you are the dominant. You know what I mean? Women
physically though, but some people don't react well to that. I see what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. Like I'm not saying this is a blanket
some people
cover
feel
all statement.
Yeah, they feel repressed.
I'm not saying that every kid needs to be whooped or that every kid needs to be, because you can tell a kid to go stick their nose in the corner and what does that do?
Right. But like, there's a difference between being punishment in the world. Physically intimidating and mentally like dominant. Right. You know
well,
mean?
Yeah.
Like, women have the same level playing field on mental dominance.
Animals run in packs.
Right.
Right. And animals are the same way. If you have a dog, I have a dog, and she's a Siberian Husky, and whenever I go up to her, she's not afraid of me, but if she's laying down, she'll start lifting her leg up.
Right.
And I was like, that's weird. But if you go online and look, it's because she's submitting to you.
Right. Yeah.
That you exactly. are yeah. the dominant
Yeah, but ruling like out of fear with an iron fist, like you're the dictator of the house, like maybe that's your only option when a kid's spitting and clawing. I don't know.
I don't know either because I'm not a single parent. I just wouldn't. I mean, I'm going to find out with my son if he's going to be good or not. You know what I mean? But I go from an early. I think if you let them get past 3 years old and you haven't ran the ropes through them, then it's going to get out of control.
I got a funny story real quick, too. My mom was in the parking lot of the Goodwill and she was witnessing like a 14-year-old kid and like a 9-year-old kid, two boys and mm-hmm. a single dad. And the kid, the 14-year-old kid, was screaming and cussing at his dad. And his dad was like trying to mellow him out, trying to calm down. Because it's the opposite of what you said mm-hmm. right now. It's a good example. So he's just screaming at his dad, dominating his dad, yelling at his dad. And his dad's just like, I don't know, dude. He's like, you're going to make, because his dad was trying to buy them clothes. And they're like, yeah. I don't want to get clothes at the Goodwill, this and that. And he's like, there's perfectly good clothes in there. They're fine. It's just, they're used.
You know,
they're
going to be used once you wear them. He's arguing with the kid.
It's what his dad can afford. His dad's trying to buy him some clothes. It's the Goodwill in Oildale. Yeah. It's like a poor family.
Yeah.
And my mom saw it, and I guess my stepdad was like, I ain't getting involved, man. Like, stepped aside. Yeah. You know, and my mom's like, I can't take it. She went over and she was like,
punched the kid.
No, she yelled at that 14-year-old kid and said, you shut your mouth right now. Shut your mouth. You stop talking. Look at your dad. She's like, your dad is bringing you here to buy you clothes. You do not talk to your father that way. That is your dad. He pays for you to eat. He pays for you to sleep where you sleep. He pays for your house. He's here to buy you clothes because that's the money he has. Do you have money to buy yourself clothes?
And shut the fuck up.
Guess what happened? That 14-year-old kid started crying in the parking lot. This happened like a month ago. He started crying. Yeah. And so did the other look. My mom scared these kids, though. And then she's like, you get back in the car right now. Get in the car. She made the kids get in the car. And she told the dad. She said, Dad, listen. Don't buy them anything. You get in the car and you leave right now. He's like, oh my God, thank you so much. Yeah. I didn't know what to do. She's like, thank you so much. She's like, well, you know what? She's like, they needed it. I'm sorry to get involved. She's like, oh, she told him, like, if you do that again, you punch him in the face. Yeah. Punch him in the mouth. And guess what though? Those kids cried, they apologized to their dad, they got in the car, and the dad left and didn't buy him shit.
Yeah. Well, okay, I have a story too, and this goes, you know, you can kind of take how you want, and I probably don't even know if I should say.
And that was two males standing down though. Like cowboy stood down, dad stood down, and the woman ran up and handled that shit.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Who's the alpha?
That's like mama bear.
Who is the dominant? You know, like if you let your kid be the dominant, they will be the dominant. So anyway, so I have a story. I met my friend for dinner, and I had my kids with me, and he had his girlfriend, and she had a few kids. Well, and I think he might have had he had a kid too, but. One of the little kids, one of her kids, he's probably 10, and he's just an ass. He mm-hmm. is just an absolute ass. And being a little shit, you know, that he is, I'm not a small dude. And he tried to punk me in the parking lot of a restaurant.
How old is he, 10?
10 years old.
Right.
And literally tried to just man me down. You know, like he told me what was going to happen. And I said, okay. And I agreed with him. And he
Getting
turned
ready
around
for the ninja slap.
Yeah, he turned around, and literally,
wait,
I didn't.
This your
ask,
buddy's kid.
This is my friend's girlfriend's kid.
My friend's girlfriend's kid.
And
okay.
I know them not like I don't know her like crazy well. Like she's
I'm
not
wondering
like
well enough to do whatever you're about to.
No,
do.
I don't care. This is the thing. This is the thing. I didn't ask permission.
Right.
I looked at my buddy dead in the eyes, and as that kid turned around, I hooked him up in a sleeper hold. I choked him. Right? And I put him to sleep. And I laid him down gently on my feet, his head, right. So he wouldn't be on the concrete. I laid his head down gently on the concrete. And then I looked at his mom, and I just put my hands out. And I said,
what are you gonna do?
I said, hey, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to let some kid talk to me that way. I said, so when he gets up, he can apologize to me, and then everything will be good. I said, he's not hurt. You know, I know what I'm doing.
Right.
And he woke up about 30 seconds later and was just crying. And he didn't say one word the rest of the night. He sat over, ate his food, wouldn't sit by me.
Because
you
damaged his esophagus.
No. I didn't choke. I didn't do it. I strangled him. I didn't do it.
I think you should
choke.
Tell this story as Chad.
So
I'm worried for you.
Yeah. No. But check this out, though. Check this out. So he's you know, obviously, you know, he just got shown who was the alpha. And so later on, like this is probably a couple weeks later, I see him again. He doesn't talk to me. The kid won't talk to me. He's right. Like, he's fully afraid. No, but this is what his mom tells me, though. His mom told me that he was being a little shit. And so what did she tell him? Do you want me to call Brad right now? Because I'll have him come over. Guess what he did? He started fucking listening.
Right.
So, you
Brad
know, like,
the dad. Call I, Brad I think, the dad yeah. right now.
Well, and so I think that, you know, like that might be excessive in some people's eyes.
A lot of people's eyes?
Why?
Choking out 10-year-olds in nobody's the restaurant parking lot?
Dude, I had a 13-year-old break my esophagus with a choke.
Right.
So they're not innocent little, you know, beings, you know. They're fine in a controlled environment, but my point being is that if you let them dominate you, they will dominate you. If you're a woman and you're out there and you're letting your kid yell and scream at you and kick the windows out in your car.
I think you should take the woman part out of that sentence.
No, I'm saying woman or man.
Right.
Right. That wasn't meant to be.
Right. No, I'm just saying, because I know a lot of dads who are bigger.
I was
going
to get to that,
though.
Like, yeah, I was going to get to that. But yeah, if you're letting your. Yeah. So in general, if you're out there and you're letting your kid be a little shit and tell you what to do, you're done. Like, I mean, it's over. You know,
I mean, you watch any, like, I had like a guilty obsession with one of those nanny shows that used to be on.
The and British
nanny?
Like
the little, the little shit heel kids. I forget which one it was. Because there were a couple of
them. Is it a new one?
On.
Was it Jesse? My kids watched that.
It was a while back.
That'd be creepy if you're watching that with
but,
your kids.
It was like these little shit heel kids, man, that just ran over their parents. And like that was almost always the answer, was just consistency. Like you
yeah,
back down.
It's very consistent.
You're letting them be in control. You're claiming you're going to do this, but you never do it.
Follow
like,
through.
Like just yeah. you need to prove well, to them that you're. And it's like, well, they won't go to bed. And it's like, I bet if you keep putting them to bed for the next 2 hours,
they're gonna going to sleep. You know what I mean?
Just choke them out. Just choke them out and kick them down the coal chute.
Well,
when like, they wake up in bed.
Hey, you know what though? Like, how are you going to put your kid to sleep? They won't go to sleep. They just won't do it. As long as they don't come out of the room, I don't care. You know what I mean? When you're tired in the morning, that's your problem. You know, like, but you don't get to watch TV. You don't get to do those things. But that's the same thing I said earlier: is consistency and keep doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if I told my daughter the same thing for 10 freaking years. It's going to be the same and it's never going to change. Like, I'm not going. The day that I stop telling them, don't mess with the coffee table, is the day that they're going
to
go, cool, now I can fuck with the
coffee
table.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Like, as soon as I left, my girlfriend, she told me, like, hey, every time you go to the podcast, the girls, and they're good kids. Like, they know what to do and what not to do, you know? And every time they're going to test boundaries, I leave, they get up, they have breakfast, do their thing. And she's like, every time you left, they were trying to climb on the pool table. I'm like, what? Like, they've never tried to climb on the pool table when I'm around.
Right.
All of a sudden, I'm gone.
Wait, you have a pool table?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's how stranger to friends.
I only came over one time.
I probably didn't have a pool table then.
Have you ever been to my house?
Yeah. I've been to your house.
Have you been to Dave's house?
No.
I've only been to your house once.
Yeah. Well, I live out too far for you.
We should really hang out more, guys.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, we should.
Dave will tell us he's coming.
Dave's just going to say no.
Dave will be like, hey, guys, barbecue sounds great.
Yeah, that sounds
can't
great.
Make
Hook it,
it
up.
Can't
Hook it
make
up.
It.
Yeah. I'll see what I can do.
No, but and to that, that's, I mean, I'm fully agreeing with you, Dave. Consistency, like, that is a huge, huge thing that people just don't keep. Like, it's exhausting. It is exhausting.
I think, like, if anything comes from this whole episode, it is have a schedule, have realistic mm-hmm. expectations, mm-hmm. maintain consistency on those expectations, and let the child know that if they do A, B happens, and it happens without failure.
Right. Yep.
That if you do this, this is the consequence of this, yep. and it will happen.
And you're doing all this at your own risk. Like, we are not professionals.
Right.
We're not, you know,
specifically the choking of children in
right.
parking.
Yeah. No, and I don't. Again. I mean, I'm not condoning spanking your children. You know, you choose to do what you want to do.
And be flexible and adaptable. Yeah. Identify your child's, you know, currency, whatever their reward system is. That's huge, because some kids love Legos and some kids love video games.
Right.
Yeah. Some kid might want to read a book like Dave and not want to go outside, and you wouldn't expect that.
Right.
So, you know what? I mean, and reinforce that behavior. Look at Dave's a published author, because his mom was okay with rewarding him with that behavior.
Right.
She took him to the library and he read books and he's an English professor and a published author because she enforced that. You might find out that your kid is going to be an architect because all he wanted to do was play with Legos and you tried to force him to go climb a tree and kick a soccer ball and he didn't want to do it. It might be okay for them to do those things if they're not having behavioral problems and that's their reward. You know what I mean?
The other thing is I think parents need to monitor their own behavior on a regular basis. And because I was kind of thinking about that and it I didn't expect to come to this place, but at one point I was like, well, if we're going to talk about parenting, I'm really curious about mobile devices and cell phones and what impact that has on kids. And when I started looking into it, surprisingly, I was finding a lot more about the fact that it isn't like I wasn't seeing as much, even though I'm sure there are tons of negatives, I wasn't seeing articles that were really talking about the negatives of children having cell phones. I was finding more meaningful articles about the damage that parents with cell phones do to their children.
Ignoring their kids.
Ignoring their kids. And I read there was one particular study and it was done by, and granted it was done by a lab that researches for cell phone companies.
Yeah.
So they're, I mean, that's the whole point of what they do. But they said that a third of the children that they polled said that their parents spend as much time with them as they do on their mobile devices.
I'm guilty for sure.
So that's part of it. It said that 54% of the kids in this study felt that their parents checked the devices too often. 32% said that they felt completely unimportant when their parents were using their cell phones.
Shit.
And the terms that came up the most were the word, like by all the kids when they were talking about it, the most common words describing the feelings they had when their parents were on the cell phone were the words angry, sad, frustrated, and lonely.
Wow.
And it said that there's a 22% spike in preventable accidents in the last several years because of parents who were on their cell phones and not paying any attention to their children. So I was, I expected the rise in kids getting hurt because parents weren't paying attention, but I didn't expect the kids to have, but I think it goes back to the same idea of having dinner with your kids. It's important to make sure your kids aren't on the mobile devices.
It's a learned thing. You know, like if you're constantly on it, what do you think your teenager is going to do?
Right.
Same thing. It's a learned habit. Yeah. There's a girl riding her beach cruiser down the street in the neighborhood and I'm like slowing down because she's riding right at me. I'm like, I'm going to have to swerve or you're going to have to swerve. And she's on her phone just like texting while she's riding her bike. She's probably 13, 14 years old. And I'm like, hey, like, are you going to pay attention?
The next day,
I'm leaving. Same thing. She almost runs into a parked car because she's texting and riding her bike.
Hi, Wayne. Hi.
So, I mean, like, that, I think it's a learned behavior. Like, if it's okay to watch your parents do those things, like, the kids are going to do it too, you know?
Right, right.
So, I don't know. Anything else? Are we done? Or
pretty good. We solved the problem. There you go, guys. Yeah, if you ever have a kid, just listen to this. You're good.
Yeah. But we should plug our new sponsor.
We have lots of sponsors. Oh, we got a bag to give away, too.
Yeah.
I want to thank Yucateco Hot Sauce, El Yucateco Hot Sauce specifically. I think their website is www.elyucatecohotsauce.com. If not, they're on Facebook. They're on Instagram. Yeah. You can see them on our social media. We've started to post stuff for them. I contacted them, told them what we do, told them I like their hot sauce, and they sent us a super cool swag box. They give us
this is a Brent specific.
I love that hot sauce.
He's a fanboy for their hot sauce.
I am telling you, man. Like I have.
Yeah, he masturbates with it.
He goes to the.
It hurts, but it happens.
He goes to the Vallarta market just to buy
a specific one because I couldn't get it. Yeah. They do have it at Food Max too, locally.
Oh, do they?
If you have trouble finding it, contact me. I will point you in the right direction per flavor. But you can order it on their website. They've got shirts and all kinds of cool swag and stuff too. But we're going to give away some prizes. That's going to be a new addition to our swag bags. We're trying to get better about getting some of those together. And I would like to say that this week's swag bag is going to go to Terry McGee. As much fuel as he doesn't need on the fire of helping us out. This guy is so active. I think he might be in the bushes right now.
Yeah.
Maybe with a gimp mask on.
He's listening to us through the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Like he's boiling a rabbit with a gimp mask on and eating habanero hot sauce right now. And the great thing about that guy is he'll laugh at that. He's not going to take offense. He's a super funny guy. He has his own YouTube channel and stuff.
You know, it'd be awesome if he just kills Brent.
Yeah.
He's like, who do we replace Brent?
Yeah. No way, man. I picked him as a winner. He just marked me off his list while he was putting lipstick on in the mirror.
You beat us too.
I'll tell you what, you guys would be buddies. studies. He's a gun fanatic. I think he has like a whole gun channel on YouTube about rifles.
I don't like other people.
You don't like other people? No, I just. Well, I would like to say.
He does. Brent always tries to find buddies for me. I'm like,
much props to him because he does. He's always giving us shout outs. He's always answering questions. Super creative. He's always giving us feedback.
He's funny too. Yeah, he's creative. And thank you for being a fan. And thank you for all the love for sure.
So he is the winner of this week's swag bag. And it will be the first Yucateca itemed swag bag that we
we'll throw some stuff out. In there.
And I wanted to mention Kyle Mason sent us a message through the websites and all the websites he sent them to us. And I thought it was funny. So I'd mention him. I want to give a shout out to Kyle Mason. Thanks for listening. He's in Florida. And
I'm sorry, Kyle.
Sorry you have to hear us.
I'm sorry you have to live in Florida.
Oh, yeah. So no, I thought it was funny the way he asked for some. He's a skateboarder, and you know we have connections with some skateboarders, and I thought it was cool. He wanted some swag, so sadly enough, we don't have any right now from our sponsor, but we're gonna get some, and we'll try and get something sent out to you. So. Yep. Just thanks for listening. Keep listening. What are you pointing at me for?
Thank you to Digital Creations for the coffee mugs and keychains and Red Ridge Beard Co. for beard oil. And thank you. And buy Chama, New Mexico, a Six Paradigm novel on Amazon.
Yes.
You're probably rich by now. You could probably just quit, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm dozens of dollars into my fortune.
I don't know. When you said you're rich right now, like you probably quit, and he's like, I'm well. Like the first thing that popped into my head was well endowed. I don't know why. I was like filling in the blank with well endowed.
It's probably true. We haven't showered together.
Yeah.
My second novel will be out by the end of December. Hopefully by the end of November, but realistically by the end of December.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So January.
Yeah.
You can get it in January.
Yeah.
He's going to reread it.
I will keep you posted.
Well, that's the show. Actually, I don't know. That went a different direction than I thought it was going to go. But.
Yeah, for the beginning part, we need string music in the background for sure, though.
It was like therapy for me. It was good stuff.
You feel
better?
Good stuff. Yeah, you choke a kid, talk about your mom. Yeah. Like
punch babies. Good.
Yeah.
Let's just make baby punching bags. Sofa Ooh. King branded. Baby
is it the baby that you can walk around and just uppercut?
A speed bag.
You know, those
baby.
Clown ones that lay over and they pop back up, you know?
Yeah. I called Yucateca. I'll call Everlast when we get off.
Man, I don't know, man.
I'll hit them up.
I just want to elbow kids and stuff sometimes in restaurants. I know that's how
lawsuits happen.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just like, no, you swing around because you want to talk to somebody over there, you know, and you just nick them in the head. You know,
well, now you've given away.
Oh, man. Given away. Oh, did I hit your kid? I'm sorry. Oh, he's asleep. Cool.
Now their lawyers can listen to this show.
No, the parents won't even care. You just buy their dinner and you'd be good.
Probably thank you. Remember, they got thanked.
Yeah, they might thank you. They might be like, man,
a lot of parents, you might just like openly say, like, look, I'll buy your guys dinner if you let me hit your kid.
Yeah, or if you tell them to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
One or the other. Or can I do it?
Yeah.
Can I kick them in the face?
I'll buy your dinner.
Yeah, I'll buy your dinner.
Baby punching bags.
Yep. .com. Check us out, sofakingpodcast.com. Don't forget to leave comments. Facebook, Brent likes your comments on Facebook.
Love them.
And I think that's it. That's all we got. Don't be retarded.